الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The first of our salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Nabi wa alayhi wa sallam. The second in honor of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. The third with your loudest voices in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim part of the verses of the chapter of a Quran, or is it simply a divider between chapters? Is one of the most fundamental questions in Quranic sciences, and indeed a question that requires a thorough analysis. For the question has a broad spectrum of opinions between the scholars of jurisprudence and the history of Islam. You find that certain schools within the religion of Islam, when reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, or indeed the Surah that follows it, will begin without Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are many of us who have been to Umrah or Hajj, where the first thing we hear in the recital is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And indeed, this raises the question as to whether Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is an actual verse of the Holy Quran, or whether it's simply a divider from one chapter to another. This question is of the utmost importance, for we know that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim are arguably the most important words in the life of any Muslim. Translated in the English language commonly as in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, you find that every Muslim in the world at one point or another in their life has used Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The idea behind the usage is what? Is that before we perform any act, we want to recognize on the first level that that act is originally from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without a doubt, we want to recognize that every act we want to begin, the origin of that act is the mercy of Allah. That when we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, what we are trying to say is that we want our acts to have the mercy of Allah surrounding it, because we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His mercy that encompasses everything. On the second level, we recognize that we want our act to be an act that is blessed, because whenever you begin any act, you want to make sure that that act is one which is blessed. That act is one where the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never stops. That's why you find in many of our traditions, an act that does not begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is an act that is severed. If I do wudu, I want to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If I perform salah, I want to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If I open a business, I want to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If I begin eating, I want to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If ever you want to know if a Muslim community is negligent of Allah's mercy, then look at how many times they utter Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we begin to eat our meals without Bismillah, or opening a business without Bismillah, then know that we've begun to become negligent of Allah's bounties in our lives. There are some of us in our lives today where Bismillah is not important at all, as in there are some of us where when we begin any act, we've forgotten the act of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Whereas originally you would find that the Holy Prophet on many occasions would say that an act is severed when it doesn't begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yet many raise the question that is it that there are certain schools in Islam who when they begin reciting the Quran, they don't begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As in, why is it when we go to Mecca and stand, for example, in Salah, why is it that the Imam of the mosque doesn't begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? As in, even sometimes if you notice, when you buy a DVD or a CD to listen to the Quran, have you noticed that the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is inserted from a different part of the Quran? As in, you'd notice that the recital of Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen is different from the recital of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Why? Because you find that in Islamic history, there were schools that believed that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not an ayah. This raised the question by some that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells the Prophet, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمِ. Allah tells the Prophet in the Quran in Surah 15 verse 87, we have given you the seven often repeated verses and the Quran. Those seven often repeated verses and the Quran, those seven verses are which verses? The verses of Surah Al-Hamd, isn't it? Someone asked the question that if the seven verses of Surah Al-Hamd include Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then how come certain Muslims don't recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? As in, surely if you don't recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then Surah Al-Hamd becomes six verses. So how is it that certain Muslims neglect Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? And why do they neglect these verses? This then leads on to another issue, which is what? If you believe Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is part of the Surah, then you will recite it in Salah, won't you? If you believe Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not part of a Surah, but simply a connector from one Surah to another, then you will not recite it within the Salah. You therefore find, when you look in the Muslim world, the person who recites Salah in Najaf, he may begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Likewise, the one who begins Salah in Egypt, but the one who recites it in Saudi Arabia will not begin with Bismillah. Why? Let's examine in tonight's lecture. And I'd like to examine this in the following stages. When we look within the Quran, which surah doesn't begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and why? Number two, which surah did Allah replace that Bismillah by including it in another chapter? And what did Sulaiman have to do with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Number three, and of the utmost importance, what are the opinions of Abu Hanifa, of Imam Malik, of Imam al-Shafi'i, and of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal when it comes to Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and whether it is a part of the Quran and part of the surahs? And how does this affect their followers when they recite Salah? Number four, what do the Imams of Ahlul Bayt say about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in the chapters? And what do they say about the benefits of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in dunya and on the sarat on the hereafter? Number five, how is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim one of the five signs of a mu'min? And what are the other four which ensure that a person is raised with the mu'mineen on the day of judgment? Let's examine this and examine this topic in depth. When you look within the Holy Quran, all Muslims agree that the word Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is mentioned 114 times. That there is no doubt. Yet when you look at the Muslims, you ask them, but is there a chapter which doesn't begin Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? They reply to you, yes. Which one? The most famous chapter which doesn't begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is Surah 9 of the Quran. That surah, sometimes it's called what? That surah, sometimes it's called Tawbah. On other times, that chapter is called Bara'a. Tawbah means what? Repentance. Another name of the chapter which doesn't begin is what? Bara'a. Bara'a and Tawbah are sometimes used simultaneously. Some Qur'ans will say Surah 9 is Surah Tawbah. Others will say Surah 9 is what? Surah Al-Bara'a. Bara'a as a name gives you an indication of why Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wasn't at the beginning of the surah. Because if you were to ask many Muslims today who claim they have an attachment to the Quran, which surah doesn't have Bismillah, they'll say Surah Bara'a. You ask them why, they're like, I'm not really sure. Hold on. Why? Why doesn't Allah begin Surah 9 in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most beneficent? Why not? You'll find many Muslims will turn around to tell you the truth. I don't really know why not. I know that we don't recite Bismillah. But I'm not sure why not. No, we have to be sure why not. Why? Because I need to know historically what took place where Allah decided not to address the Meccans with His Rahmah. I need to know. I need to know which incident is Allah saying no more Rahman and no more Rahim. Bara'a means in English dissociation. One of the derivatives of Bara'a is Tabarra. Yes? Tabarra we know is one of the furu' al-deen, isn't it? Salah, Saum, Hajj, Zakat, Khums, Amr bil Ma'ruf, Nahi an al-Munkar, Jihad, Tawalla and Tabarra. Tabarra means what? To dissociate. When I perform Tabarra, I dissociate from an enemy or the enemies of Allah's Risalah. Correct? As in when you come and ask someone, why do you do Tabarra? They say, because I want to dissociate completely from persons X, persons Y, persons Z, because they are enemies of Allah. If you look within the Quran, Nabi Ibrahim, when he dissociated from his uncle, why did he dissociate? Because his uncle became an enemy open of Allah. If you look at Surah 9, verse 114, وَمَا كَانَ إِسْتِغْفَارَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ إِلَّا عَنْ مَوْعِدَةٍ وَعَدَهَا إِيَّاهِ فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهِ. The only time Tabarra has been used as a word in the Quran is with Ibrahim. When Ibrahim's uncle became an enemy of Allah by curving the idols and selling them to the people, Nabi Ibrahim said, Allah said that Ibrahim's istighfar for his uncle is because of his promise. Now that his uncle has become an enemy of Allah, what happens? Tabarra amin. He dissociates from his uncle. In the laws of Salat al-Rahim, if my cousin's not religious, I don't dissociate from them. If my cousin's not a Muslim, I don't dissociate from them. If my cousin is an enemy of Allah and His Prophet, I have to do Tabarra from them and not have a relation with them. The only condition where you can perform Tabarra from a cousin is if that cousin openly curses Allah and His Prophet. Otherwise, if your cousin doesn't curse Allah and His Prophet, then you still have to maintain some sort of Salat al-Rahim. Therefore, Tabarra from the word Bara'a meant a form of dissociation from Allah's enemy. In Ziyarat Warith or Ziyarat Ashura, don't we say to Ahlul Bayt, إِنِّي أَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا الْأَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا فَاطِمَةَ الزَّهْرَاءَ وَلَا الْحَسَنَ وَلَا الْحُسَيْنَ. Through what? بِمُوَالَاتِكُمْ وَبِالْبَرَاءَةِ مِنْ أَعْدَائِكُمْ. I get close to you through your wilaya and through what? And dissociating from your enemies. Surah Bara'a, وَبِالْبَرَاءَةِ مِنْ أَعْدَائِكُمْ. Correct? I dissociate from your enemies, Ziyat Ashura. Surah 9 is called Bara'a. Why, Ya Allah, do you call a surah dissociation? I want to dissociate from these Meccans who whenever I've given them a chance with my rahmah to bring peace, they always go behind my prophet's back and destroy that peace. Hudaybiyah had been signed 2 years earlier, correct? The Hudaybiyah Treaty. When the Hudaybiyah Treaty had been signed, that Hudaybiyah treaty that had been signed, what was the intention of it? The intention was that the Meccans and the Prophet in Medina would stop fighting each other. They'd already had Badr, they'd already had Uhud. Rasulullah saw a dream that he should go towards Mecca. He had missed Mecca, 6 years he hasn't been to Mecca. He saw a dream that he should go with his companions towards Mecca. But Allah told him there'll be no fighting. The Quraysh were scared. They thought, now Muhammad is not as weak as he used to be. Muhammad has thousands of people from Medina with him. They thought he's going to come and kill them. The Holy Prophet told his companions, we're not fighting anyone today. Some of his companions looked at him and said, but they used to kill us. He said, no. Today we go in the name of peace. To the extent one companion said, today I doubt this man's prophethood. No need to mention names. So what happened was, he clearly said that we're going to go in peace. When they said that we're going to go in peace, Rasulullah signed the Hudaybiyah Treaty. The Hudaybiyah Treaty, when he signed it, what was the intention? On the signature it said, no Muslim will attack a Quraysh, and no Quraysh will attack a Muslim for a period of 10 years, correct? That you're meant to honor. Imagine two countries today, Kenya and Tanzania, for example, come together. They say that we'll make a treaty with each other, that no Kenyan will kill a Tanzanian, and no Tanzanian will kill a Kenyan, and there'll be a 10-year treaty between us. Rasulullah knew this would be a good treaty. Why? The relations would improve, there'd be peace. Those companions in Medina whose family thought that they are bad by joining Islam will be able to meet their families again. The misconceptions will be removed. Couple of years after this treaty, on a dark night, the Banu Bakr of Quraysh attacked the Banu Khuza'a Muslims and slaughtered them. When they slaughtered them, the Holy Prophet had said, we had made a treaty, Hudaybiyah. The Hudaybiyah treaty, the intention was, it was what? That we're going to honor each other. There'll be a rahmah between each other. We're going to protect each other's rights. What did they do? In a dark night, they massacred a lot of Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no more rahmah. Normally, when I give a risala, I make sure that that risala begins with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, correct? On this occasion, no way. And who gave them that risala? Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Rasulullah had sent Abu Bakr originally with 300 people to perform the minor rites of the pilgrimage, yes? When he sent Abu Bakr, a day after he sent him, Allah revealed to him, Surah Al-Bara'ah is to be revealed to the Meccans. Either you go, or someone who is yourself has to go. Abu Bakr had already left. Because sometimes people come and ask me, what did Rasulullah tell Abu Bakr to reveal it? Then Allah told him to change it. No! Abu Bakr had left. Rasulullah called Imam Ali, said, Ali, come to me. These are the verses of Surah Al-Bara'ah. You go, stand in front of the Kaaba. And I tell you, this would haunt Ali ibn Abi Talib later at Jamal and Safin. You know, sometimes when you take out your hatred, you take it out because you remember a young man at the age of 30 telling you what to do. It kills a human being sometimes. You find that what happened was, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib went. Rasulullah said to him, there is no Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim when you talk to them. You begin, Bara'atum min Allahi wa Rasulihi ila alladhina ahadtum min al-mushrikeen. You begin by saying what? Not in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Which mercy? Every time we sign a treaty, you break the treaty. No more rahmah. There is no more to come to you. Rather what? Those of you who've broken the treaty. Not everyone. CNN and Fox News, they play a very clever game with the first six ayahs of Surah 9. Because you know the first six ayahs of Surah 9 are vicious verses. Vicious. You know when you see a verse begin, when the holy months have passed, kill the disbelievers wherever you see them and surround them and corner them. And then I go to my friend at work, I'm like, Islam is a religion of peace. Which peace? He'll turn around to me and say, ya Habibi, which peace? Your Quran in verse 5 of Surah 9 says, kill the disbelievers wherever you see them. If I don't have knowledge of these ayahs, I will be destroyed in a debate. But when I have the knowledge that Rasulullah had made peace treaty with the opposition, they broke it. Then what? Then the verse which CNN and Fox News uses, you know what it says? Give them 4 months. Yes? You don't come and attack them straight away. Give them 4 months to at least say, we are wrong. We were wrong. We're asking for forgiveness. Rasulullah doesn't just go straight away and tell Ali ibn Abi Talib, wherever you find them, hit them. No. Firstly, those who've broken the treaty, give them 4 months. Secondly, those of the Quraysh who haven't broken the treaty, those of the Quraysh, don't hurt them, because there may be disbelievers in Quraysh who haven't done anything wrong. Just because someone's in Quraysh, if they haven't attacked anyone, don't go and hurt them. Fox News never shows verse 4. It never shows that those who haven't broken the treaty, let them go. It always shows verse 5. The Quran is a vile book. It says, kill the disbelievers wherever you see them. No. The Quran said in verse 4, those who haven't broken our treaty, leave them. Then in verse 5, the Quran says, give those who have broken the treaty 4 months. I tell you, what mercy do you want than being told, even though you've just massacred everyone, 4 months to think about what you've done? Ali ibn Abi Talib announced those ayahs at Mecca in front of all the Quraysh. Oh Quraysh, hear me. I am Ali, son of Abu Talib, and I come with a revelation from the Lord. And I wonder if Ali ibn Abi Talib wasn't too young to give the revelation of the Quran, so he was too young to lead the Muslim Ummah when Rasulullah died. As in when you come and tell me Ali ibn Abi Talib was a young boy at 33, he shouldn't have led after Ghadir, yes, at Saqifah. What did they say? They said, Ali's too young. Hold on a minute, he can reveal the Quran, he's not too young. When he leads the Ummah, he's too young. Rasulullah knows Ali ibn Abi Talib is the only one who can reveal this surah. Therefore, this surah Bara'ah is the only surah that doesn't begin with Allah's Rahma and Rahman and Rahim. Why? Because they broke the treaty of Hudaybiyah and Allah did not send His Rahma. Therefore, if that surah doesn't begin with Bismillah, how could I say that there are 114 Bismillahs in the Quran? Because someone will turn around to me and say, listen, Sayyid Ammar, 114 surahs in the Quran, one doesn't begin with Bismillah. That means Bismillah is mentioned 113. No. Allah showed us that there's another place where Bismillah is said when Sulaiman wrote the letter to the Queen of Sheba. You see, sometimes people ask, Bismillah, is it Sunnah of Rasulullah? Not only Sunnah of Rasulullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is a Sunnah of the Prophets before Rasulullah. In which way? When the Queen of Sheba ruled where she ruled, Nabi Sulaiman ruled where he ruled. Nabi Sulaiman, half of the world belonged to him, and the other half belonged to the Queen of Sheba, correct? The hoopoe bird, the hudhud, would fly on behalf of Sulaiman. As you know, Sulaiman, the birds, the animal, the jinn, were all his servants, correct? The wind was his servant. The hoopoe bird, the hudhud, it would travel far and wide. When it would travel far and wide, that hudhud, what would its role be? It would be a navigation. You know, today in our cars, you have sat-nav, correct? It tells you where you're going. In those days, Nabi Sulaiman, what was his sat-nav? His sat-nav was the hudhud. The hudhud would travel far and wide. You know what the hudhud would tell Nabi Sulaiman? It would tell him where the nearest place of water is. Imagine you're going on a journey. Sometimes you check on your sat-nav, where's the nearest gas station, isn't it? You know when you've got like one mile left or something? You type nearest gas station. Nabi Sulaiman, if he would travel, the hudhud would tell him where the nearest water station is. That day the hudhud came back late. When the hudhud came back late, Nabi Sulaiman, he said, I promise that this hudhud, I will punish the hudhud if the hudhud had come back late. The birds, the animals, the jinn were all under his command. Justice has to be established. Each one has its role. The hudhud, when it came back, the other animals said to the hudhud, you know what, you're going to be in trouble with Sulaiman. Because Sulaiman is angered that you've come back late. The hudhud replied by saying, did he say, unless I have a reason? So at this moment they said, yes. He said, unless you have a reason. He said, very well, I will tell him what my reason is. When the hudhud entered upon Nabi Sulaiman looked at the hudhud, said, where were you? Said, Nabi Sulaiman, I've seen someone whose kingdom is as great as yours. Who? Said, the Queen of Sheba in Yemen. Her kingdom is as great as yours, but they do something we don't. What is it? They worship the sun. And I believe that you should be telling them what they should worship is the Lord of the sun. Nabi Sulaiman wrote the letter. This is where the 114th mention of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is in the Quran. Surah 27, verse 30. He began the letter, he wanted to write a letter to the Queen of Sheba saying to her that, listen, you have half the world. I want to tell you to come towards the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the sun. So the letter begins, إِنَّهُ مِن سُلَيْمَانَ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنَ الرَّحِيمِ. Whenever you begin any letter, any email, anything, take this as a lesson in life. Why not begin the lesson with Allah's rahmah, correct? Why not begin? How many times have we failed in something because we forgot to say Bismillah before sending, correct? Or we forgot to say Bismillah before signing, and then later we regret. Why neglect Allah's rahmah? He began the letter, إِنَّهُ مِن سُلَيْمَانَ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنَ الرَّحِيمِ. When he began the letter, he said to her, come towards the way of the Lord. She read the letter. She said, it's an honorable letter. It really is. What do you think I should do? Her advisor said to her, that you know what you probably should do is that